It embraces all of time, as well as eternity, past and present, and future. It includes, or it relates to all of mankind, everything about us, without exception. That's what it includes. Salvation is the total work of God by which he seeks to rescue man from the ruin and the power of sin. This is the plan that he's using to rescue us from the ruin and the power of sin. We want to give you a definitive definition of salvation. The word salvation communicates the thought of deliverance, safety, perseverance, soundness, restoration, and healing. And in theology, it's a major doctrine of the Bible, which includes redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, conviction. Listen to all these things: conviction, repentance, faith, regeneration, forgiveness, justification, sanctification, perseverance, and glorification.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger,
but on a tree, died to save man, the tree.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Chapter 8, verse 31. We're going to launch our word today from Romans chapter 8, verse 31. We've heard it, but I want to go a little deeper into this study, if you don't mind. And it says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" You may be seated in the presence of God Almighty. Talk about the great challenge. If God be for us, the challenge is, who can be against us? Notice how it starts off. What shall we then say to these things? Because it's important to understand in the context of our text how man many times have a reason, has an answer, has an excuse, has an ideal, has a thought about how everything operates or does not operate, why it succeeds or why it fails, about his future, about his past, confused about his present, etc., etc., etc. And in the context of this, Paul writes to the church at Rome, and in verse 28, he says something very important that we share all the time. But he says this. He says, and we know. That's a knowledge-based reality. That's not some thought pattern based on some ideology, some theory, but it is a knowledge-based experientially, so that all things work together for good. Now, it doesn't matter whether the things that's working for our good is bad, because the reality is, because of who we are and by relationship with God, we have this covenant promise that in the end, we win. Now, when you have that kind of knowledge base, my brothers and sisters, it changes the way you see and experience things, because you know that no matter how bad it starts off, how low it starts out, how twisted it starts off, how wrong it may be, you know in the end, you're going to be right side up on top and declared the winner. Sometimes it amazes you how God can make you a winner when the stuff is so messed up. But the knowledge is, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, though. And so then he walks through this word and he tells them several things concerning this word. We get to verse 31 and he says, listen, I want to ask you a question. Since you've got so much to say about it, what shall you say about these things? I'm about to give you some truth, some revelation, some reality in how God operates. And what is your defense against this truth? What shall you then say to these things? Because when he starts off making it clear right here, how if God is for us, the rest of what follows is so much more beneficial to the believer's benefit package. In other words, if God is on your side, the rest of this is stuff you got to shout about. Look at this. So again, he says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who? This is the great challenge now. Can be against us. Now here's what I want you to see. Verse 32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, who? All. How shall he not with what? Him also do what? Freely give us all things. Now, keep in mind, we know everything's going to work out for our good. Might not feel like it, might not look like it, might not be an experience right now that we could even identify with, but the record is it's going to happen. So one of the things you need to do to be encouraged is know that if you're still down, know that if you're still not declared the victor or the winner, it ain't over with yet. Know that. And then if you start getting discouraged, say, well, it may be taking a little too long, but let me fast forward to the end and see, I win. I win. And then you go back to where you are and you'll get strength to go through it a little bit. And if you get weak, go on to the end, fast forward, I win. I win. And you go on back and you get a little more strength. And day by day, sometime you've got to fast forward to the end to see you win. And then you got to go back to play. Because you can't get to the end where you win until you go through the process. It's that this. But ain't nothing wrong with every now and then catching a peek of the end. Now listen to this. But now see God now, because he's on our side. And if he's on our side, the devil in hell can't do anything about that. He can't stop you. He can't block you. He can't deter you. He can't destroy you, because God is in control. Now, here's the point here. Verse 32 makes clear. Again, he that spared not his own son, God didn't spare Jesus, but delivered him up for us all, made him the sacrifice for each one of us. How shall we not? He not with him also freely give us all things? It would be ludicrous for the Lord to save your life and not sustain your life. Because if he just saved us, we would have shouted on the day of our salvation and died that night. Or certainly wouldn't have had nothing sufficient for the next day. So when he saved us, listen at this, he put everything in place for us to live a saved, sanctified, and satisfied Holy Spirit-filled life so that we will be victorious in the end. And that means when he saved us, he also added everything necessary to accommodate our salvation. That includes forgiveness. That includes deliverance. That includes healing. That includes prosperity. That includes the promises. Everything that goes along with salvation, when he gave his son, that was nothing else more valuable than that. That's why he included everything else. Say, with Jesus comes everything else. See, everything that God has for you, if he freely gave you his son, will he not freely give you anything else? So why wouldn't he give you healing for your body if he gave you his son who gave his life? He could have just given you healing and kept his son. But if he sacrificed the greatest and most important person in his life, his son, would he hold anything else back? Don't let the devil fool you. God wants you to have his best. I said, God wants you to have his best. Now, here's this. If I know this, then that means I ought to structure my thought processes where I stop settling for what'll do, for what is convenient, for settling for this for now. I will stop putting myself in a position where if I can't have the best, but let me put it this way, if I can't love the one I want, then y'all getting scared now. I love the one I'm with. I'm gonna stop putting myself in a position where this'll do for now. Because you know what happens? Now stays in the ever-present position of now. So what you don't understand is if you settle now, 2 years will still from now be now. And you'll look back later and see what you had then, but you still got it now because you settled then, and that's why you got it. Y'all missing me here. I want you to hear me here. So listen, sometime waiting on the Lord may be hard now, but it pays off after a while. Can I tell you, you ain't got no better company than the Lord? Do you know how much mess you got to put up when you settling? Somebody ain't hearing me here. I said, do you know how much stuff you got to put up with when you settling? Can I tell you, settling keeps your stuff from coming. Well, God knows there ain't but one head on one body at one time. That's called normal. So as long as you're in one position, God can't put you in another place when you're not in the position God wants you to be in. And many of us have missed the waiting position because we were in the wanting position and missed God. So therefore, we missed out on what God had provided and promised for us because we had to have it. Now, listen, because I want you to see something. The Bible is clear on the fact that if we are Christ's, if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that all things are ours that belong to him. How will he not with him, Jesus, freely give us all things? If Jesus gave us his life, is there anything better than his life? Not to God. And because of his life, everything that's worth something is connected to his life. And so through the connection of Christ, we have available to us everything that belongs to Christ. Because when we connected with Christ, we had the privilege extended to us to enjoy what belongs to Jesus. Listen at that. So the next time I settle for strife, Next time I settle for mess. Next time I settle for the tricks of the devil. It is because I made a choice to settle for that, because God had reserved his best. And nothing less was he willing to give to me. But listen, I've got to know that he didn't withhold it from me. I got ahead of him. Can you look back on your life and say every mistake you made was your fault, not God's? Can you honestly say that? Listen to what he says. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. If God justifies, the record is clear in Isaiah 54 and 17 that the heritage of the saints is this, that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us shall be condemned in judgment. That's the heritage of the saints. So that means when folk lay stuff to your charge and try to say stuff against you, God says, where are you going with this? God says, I see him better than you see him. I see her better than you see her. I know him better than you know him. I know her better than you know her. I know their situation better than you know their situation. I see the extenuating circumstances of their situation. I know the why and the motive of their hearts, as well as the scenarios being played out. In other words, I've got the full picture. What do you have? See, God's not going to let you judge his elect without talking to him about who he is in control and in view of all things he has created. In other words, it's an indictment against God and a slap in his face when you try to tell him something about his children that he don't know. Because listen, he's really talking about Satan and those who operate in the spirit of Satan, who's always with a condemning and judgmental spirit. And see, sometimes what we think is, just because our opinion of somebody may be strong and wrong, that it's going to influence God like it does people. But I've got news for you. When God gets through shining the spotlight on your sins and your shortcomings and your stuff up in the closet, he'll expose you so that whatever they did will seem like child's play. Tell somebody, you better be careful about judging others. I know you don't want to hear this. Come on, tell somebody you ought to be careful about judging somebody. Especially God's elect. God's people. Listen, in Zechariah, write this down and you get some time to study it. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. God comes to the rescue of Joshua when Satan is standing up there trying to accuse Joshua. Joshua is standing there in dirty garments and clothing with a dirty turban on his head, and the devil is reading his record, and God rebukes the devil against Joshua. See, because what you need to know is, no matter how good we try to be, the devil can still find some fault with us. But I'm so glad God knows our hearts, so that when the devil starts telling him all the mess he's got to tell about you, God stops him in his tracks and rebukes him and says, I know him better than you'll ever know him. And so what God proceeds to do is straighten you out, get you together, and make you everything that he wants you to be, even in the midst of your fault, even in the midst of your frustrations, even in the midst of your not being all that he's called you to be. He loves you to the point where he protects you with his own honor and his own name. And so he makes clear in this 33rd verse, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Now listen to this. If God justifies, then it is clear that nobody can unjustify you. In other words, when the judge of all judges, now that's the highest court. Matter of fact, it's so high it ain't even in this land. Y'all catch that on your way home. And every high court in this land, he can overthrow the judgment of them because his is the highest court. And so if God justifies you, it doesn't matter who tries to unjustify you. And look at this word. I want you to go to verse 34 because I want you to see this. It says, who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died. Yeah, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now here's how God justifies you. And hear this, because you need to see justification in the sense and the light of God's justice versus man's justice. You see, if you are guilty in man's sight, then no justice can be given. But you can be guilty in God's sight and still be justified. Well, how is that? Because here, God allows a substitute for your sins. Jesus, who is going to pay the price that God requires for every sinner, has already done his part. So that means he has already died, shed his blood, and risen again from the dead. He now sits on the right hand of the Father. Everybody who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Once they come into that place of salvation, they are added into the security of what Jesus offered through his sacrifice, his blood, his life, his living, and his resurrection. And so he has paid for them the price of every one of their sins. Having done this, he has satisfied the price of man's penalty with God, which means when he paid the bill, he also left the tip. He took care of everything. So you listen, has anybody ever paid your lunch bill and then tell you, now you leave the tip? Now, if you're going to pay the bill, go on, leave the tip. I mean, if you're going to really do me a favor, Jesus did it all. Listen, he paid for your past, your present, and your future sins according to his word. And because he has paid it all, the justification is in the sight of God when you repent and get right with God is just as if you never did it. In other words, yeah, you were guilty of the charge. Yeah, you did do what was said. But when the blood is applied, when the receipt is given, God sees you just as if you never committed the crime. And so listen at this. If God justifies you, it don't matter who says she's guilty, he's guilty. It is moot with God. It is of no moment with God. God does not even pay attention to it. And so the devil is just going around shouting meaningless words to God, bringing up stuff that just don't matter to God. And I got news for you. If God is the one who wakes you up in the morning, if God is the one who opens doors for you, make ways for you, shows you favor, gives you mercy, if God is the one who takes care of you, and if he justifies you, does it matter who does not? See, my problem is, not your problem, but my problem is sometimes I worry about what folk think. My concern should not be whether or not folk think good about me. I ought to do the good I can do, but my whole desire ought to be, God, what do you think about me in spite of what man thinks of me? Because man will love you when you're up. Oh, but just don't fall. Don't slip. Don't move from your place of high esteem, because the same folk who loved you will turn around. It's a thin line. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. Between love. I ain't gonna finish it because you know it. The 8th chapter in the 1st verse says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in relationship, Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if God doesn't judge us by man's standard and he justifies us by Jesus' standard, then if God doesn't condemn us and Jesus doesn't condemn us and angels can't condemn us and man, it doesn't matter if he condemns us, and the devil in hell cannot condemn us, it is because if God has justified us, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. That's why, listen, that's why when you are justified by God and he treats you just as if you didn't do it, what reason do you have to hold your head down? Because if he doesn't condemn you, your conscience doesn't condemn you. If your conscience, see, it's your conscience and the judgment of God that makes the weight so heavy on you. But if God says, I forgive you, and you are not condemned in my sight, then your conscience has no reason to hold your head down, make you feel bad, or put any weight on you, because God has justified you. And too many justified folk are living like they are not justified by God, making you feel less than who God says you are, living beneath your privilege, paying for a mistake God has already given the blood of Jesus to pay for, still acting like you've got to pay again when it's already been paid. What you do need to do is show your receipt. The word of God is my receipt that Jesus has paid for it. My spirit bears witness. My soul bears witness. The Holy Ghost bears witness. I am sealed in this relationship with Christ Jesus. And all that God has for me, God will do according to his word. Verse 35, and I'm closing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We're still talking about this great challenge now. Who? Because if God is for us, it don't really matter who's against us. No one really can truly be against us and succeed.
Yeah, that's right.
So based on this same reality, if God be for us, the question now is, who shall separate us? Because the same person who is able to hurt us, if God is with us, is the same person that can separate us from God's love. But listen, if they didn't find him out in verse 31, they won't find him in verse 35, because he does not exist. So listen, when the word says, it's a rhetorical question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, first of all, get it straight and understand it. Of denotes origin, where it comes from. See, the devil can separate us from Christ's love many times, because all you got to do is mess with our love and it messes with our connection to Christ. But this is talking about Christ's love for us. So he's done everything he could to separate Christ's love from us. He tried, but he couldn't do it. So the devil has tried every trick in the book, and he knows that there's nothing he could do to cut off Christ's love to us. Nothing. Nothing can he do that would make Christ stop loving us. Man, do you realize how powerful that is? Do you know how many people's lives have been ruined because somebody else was able to make somebody else separate their love from them?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 708-7806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577.